Good morning, and welcome to our online worship service at Parma Christian Church. I invite you to please pray with me. Holy and merciful God, you are the great physician. We come to worship you today, gather together not in the same room, but together in spirit. As we worship together, Lord, we know that there are many in our world who are ill. Yet if one person suffers, we all suffer. So we gather together virtually as a community of love to bring ourselves and others to you, the great physician, whose gift to us is wholeness. We ask for your blessings on our body and mind and spirit. And we open ourselves to the healing ministry that you offer us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Welcome again to our online worship at Parma Christian Church. We are living in unusual times as we practice social distancing due to the COVID-19 or coronavirus pandemic. Even though we may not be physically gathered together for worship this morning, we know that we are all together in spirit. I do have a few brief announcements today for the members of Parma Christian Church. We want you to let you know that our monthly food distribution will continue to be held this Wednesday, March 18th, and we will be taking extra precautions to help avoid exposure and transmission of the virus. But we know that people are in need, so we want to help them. Volunteers are needed on Tuesday to help unload the truck, and then again on Wednesday to distribute the food. Our Wednesday evening Bible study, I'm currently exploring the possibility of using Zoom. It's an online tool, and I will post information about that via our Facebook page, as well as our email chain that we use to let you know about our Wednesday evening Bible study this week. I do want to mention offering. Now, more than ever, Parma Christian Church needs your financial support. Please use the online donation button. I believe our online donation button is active on our Facebook page, as well as our PayPal donation button that is on our Parma Christian Church website. Or you may mail in your offering check, your offering envelope. That we appreciate any generous support that you're able to give us at this time. It is more difficult since we are unable to worship together, so we need your support. We are still planning on having our congregational meeting, which is on March the 29th, immediately following the worship service, pending what happens with our worships, depending on if we are still meeting weekly or if we have to cancel due to the virus, we will let you know. But please know that the congregational meeting is currently still in our plans to have that on March 29th, and if not, we will let you know a future date for that. And that brings up worship next week. We will continue to watch the news about the outbreak and be in contact with our local health department and other people who are in the know, who can help us determine if our service will be in person or online next week. Please watch our Facebook page and your email for more information. Our elders will also make calls to you to let you know how we will worship together next week. And finally, I mentioned communion. And because this congregation believes it is important to participate in weekly communion, we will have a time for us to participate in communion together today. At the end of our service today online, I would invite you to use whatever you may have in your home for the bread and the juice. It could be a cracker, a piece of bread, or something else you have close at hand. It could be your morning bagel. And for the cup, you could use any type of juice or beverage that you may have on hand. Simply a small cup of water will work. There will be a moment between our pastoral prayer and our communion when you can step away. Our organist will be playing music for us, and you can step away to find what you will use for communion and then come back so that we may worship together and conclude our worship service with communion. For our scripture lesson this morning, it comes from the Gospel of John. It was the selected scripture for the day, and I admit I had a whole other sermon prepared. So this sermon and this scripture, it takes a little different look at our scripture this morning. The scripture lesson is John chapter 4, verses 5 through 30, and finishing up with verses 39 through 42. You may recognize the story as Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. Hear these words from our holy scripture today. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews did not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this living water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation has come from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It has been a difficult week. So much changed so fast in our everyday lives. We went from knowing about and praying for cases of the COVID-19 virus that were on the west coast of the United States and in China and in Italy and in other parts of the world, only to find out on Monday that there were 3 cases of COVID-19 here in Cuyahoga County. Then that number increased. And we as a church began to talk about ways to mitigate the chance that we might spread that virus through close contact. The church board and the elders created a plan to modify the way that we typically serve communion in order to decrease the chance of someone catching the virus. And then came Thursday. Thursday was the game changer here in Ohio because our governor decided to cancel school for at least 3 weeks. And then he came back and he ordered all large gatherings to cease. And then we were asked to practice what is called social distancing, which means that we physically stay away from each other as much as possible. While this is not quarantine, it certainly feels like one. There are so many events that are canceled. Sporting events, Broadway, locally, Playhouse Square, the Cleveland Orchestra, movies that were set to open are being delayed, and many churches have canceled their worship services too. And this is done out of great precaution. No one wants to see any loss of life from this virus that is unknown to us. And without a doubt, many of us have experienced emotions of uncertainty, fear, frustration, and even anger. Many of us are in shock about this new reality that has been thrust upon us. And many of us are in denial of how bad this virus could truly be if we did not begin this policy of social distancing. And many of us are grieving. We're grieving the loss of normalcy that we rely on every day. Yet it is in these very times that we do need to turn to God as our source of comfort. In looking at our scripture, the woman at the well was someone who understood the pain of social distancing. Her social distancing came not because of a virus, but because she was considered the social outcast. She had come to the well alone during the hottest part of the day. Jesus tells us that she became the social outcast because of certain choices and things that had happened in her life. Yet, here she is at the well, surviving the best she can. As Jesus pauses to rest by Jacob's well, this Samaritan woman comes to fill her water jar. She does not expect him to be there. She does not expect this man to even talk to her, a woman. But this is not any man. This is Jesus, the Son of God, and he knows what she needs. He knows that she needs to drink from the cup of life and to know that she is loved by God. Jesus offers her more than simply a cup of water. He offers her everlasting life. He offers her a relationship with God. He offers her a way to be connected and involved in a meaningful relationship that can get her through any social distancing that she has to endure in life. Most of the time when I read this scripture and my completely different sermon on the scripture, I like to concentrate on the conversation between Jesus and this woman as they discuss what this water of everlasting life is. And then I tend to focus on how she goes running back to her village to bring others to Jesus. She was a fantastic evangelist, sharing the good news about Jesus with her community. But there is a section that I often simply just read right over. It's just a part of the scripture. But it is the section that caught my eye as I considered what to say this morning. And it is the section that discusses the location of worshiping God. The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you say that people must worship in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Intellectually, we know that we can worship God anywhere. We know that God does not require us to make a sacrifice. God does not require us to go to a particular temple and pray and worship in a particular way. We know that we can worship God in spirit and truth from any location. Yet our hearts long to be in worship where we feel comfortable. We long to worship God in our traditional houses of worship. And we know that this practice of social distancing is for our own safety, as well as the safety of our friends, neighbors, loved ones, and larger community. But we cannot stop our hearts from longing for what we want. And what we want is to be here in this sanctuary with our church community. Yet, Martin Luther reminds us that this is not the first time Christians have had to practice social distancing. During the Black Plague, Luther wrote, "I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine, and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated and thus perchance inflict and pollute others, and so cause their death as a result of my negligence. If God should wish to take me, he will surely find me, and I have done what he has expected of me, and so I am not responsible for either my own death or the death of others. If my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely as stated above. So see, this is such a God-fearing faith because it is neither brash nor foolhardy and does not tempt God." So let us not tempt fate. Let us remember that we can worship God together through this powerful tool called the internet. This is one time in life so far that I am extremely grateful for the power of social media and the internet. This crisis reminds me of a story that I heard right after Hurricane Katrina flooded New Orleans. A minister of a Disciples Christ Church in Louisiana sent out an email, made phone calls, and contacted as many members of his church as he could. Many of them had left the area or was displaced from their home. Many of them were living all around the country, and they would not be able to worship together that Sunday or for several Sundays after the flood. People were scattered all over, taking shelter with family and friends. Yet the minister contacted them in whatever means possible, and he asked them that even though they could not worship together physically on that Sunday morning, he wanted them to pause where they were at their regular worship time of 11 a.m. And then he invited them to find a piece of bread or a cup of juice to say the words of institution together wherever they were, to pray and to eat the bread and to drink the cup and celebrate communion. Even though they could not physically worship together, they could still worship God together in spirit and in truth. We may not be physically together this Sunday in this room, but we are together in spirit and in truth, and thanks to social media, we are virtually together too. I do not know when we will be physically together in worship again. I pray that it will be very, very soon. But as long as we remain apart, I invite you to gather in this space, this virtual space, on Sunday mornings to worship God together.